Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barson, who can be reached at 631-862-1402. Tonight's guest is Dave Morgan, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-662-1402. 276008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
And good evening to you, Fran. And before we get started, I know we did put an article in a newsletter. We embarked upon a new project called the Literary Project. And why don't you just give us an overview of what that is?
Well, as you could tell by the name, it has to do with literature. And the particular type of literature is literature about survival of consciousness and all the related topics of the afterlife that we've selected as key books that should be in all libraries. And it's a beautiful collection. Our volunteer, Judith Lockman, has been working very, very hard on putting this collection together and getting it readied for libraries. And the way this is going to work is if somebody wants to set up this collection in a library, either in memory of someone who has passed, which is a wonderful, wonderful way to remember someone forever and ever and ever, or just because they want this collection in one of their local libraries, this is what this project is all about. So all they really have to do is contact us, and we could start the ball rolling.
Right, and then they would actually sponsor it by buying the collection, and we would then work with the library to see if they would accept the collection and designate, with a applicable plaque or some exhibit that says that it's in memory of, you know, a specific person.
Right. Just because they are public libraries, they are still run by a board. And the board has the discretion of what books are kept in the library. It kind of seems a little like censorship, but not really. So there is some negotiation and conversation that has to take place before it is actually accepted by the library.
Well, the underlying goal in this project is not only to memorialize a loved one, but to help spread the word and educate people about the evidence that exists that, you know, that we do survive a physical
right
death.
And it's a wonderful collection. It really is the key books that everybody should be reading.
Yeah, we've researched it, and many of these books are already in many, many libraries, but certainly, you know, not all. There is a I don't know if we mentioned it, but there's a new TV show that's out. As a matter of fact, it airs when this show is over.
Right when this show is over.
Thursdays. It's called Saving Hope, and normally the depictions of the afterlife or of paranormal experiences aren't great on television. But this is it's a drama. It's a hospital setting, but it's not your typical show. It's worth checking out. I mean, the premise of the show is that the chief of surgery of a hospital, actually on the eve of his wedding, gets into a car accident and winds up in a coma, and has these out-of-body experiences while he's in a coma, and near-death experiences, and he's pretty much, you know, wandering around the hospital.
Well, it seems like more like he's patrolling the halls of the hospital.
Right.
They're ready to assist anybody else who's crossing over or being resuscitated and is confused, and it's quite interesting.
Yeah, well, you see people that that code, and then they're being worked on, and while they're unconscious or in a coma, so to speak, they appear, and they could see him, you know, this chief of surgery. He, of course, is not dead, since he's still technically alive. He's in a coma. And they converse with each other, and he tries to reassure them, and he gives them honest answers. He doesn't have all the answers to know what's going on. He also notices that when they fail to resuscitate patients, these people appear to him, and he talks to them, but after a very short period of time, he sees a very bright, flashing light, and they disappear. And, you know, it's a very good treatment of many of the things that we talk about. I don't know who their creative writer is or their, what do you call the person who advises?
A consultant.
But it seems like they've read or experienced some of these things, so they know, you know, what's going on. And what I also like is that they don't portray it as having all the answers that I mentioned. Like, one thing comes to mind in one episode where there is somebody that passes away, and he's talking with this chief of surgery, and the chief of surgery explains to him that that he's dead. And he also explains to them what happens most of the time is that people just stay and then they go. And then he says, well, why am I still here? And he says, I really don't know, you know. And it turns out, as somewhat predictable fashion, that he had a bunch of unfinished business, and when he
that may be the whole workings of the show, is that perhaps with each episode they're working on a different concept of crossing over, like in this particular case where it was unfinished business.
Right.
You know, we may see something with a life review. We may see all of these other things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns. I'd recommend that you check it out. It's called Saving Hope, and I think tonight is the fourth episode. You know,
we've watched the other three on the internet.
Yeah, in reruns. You know, I see you have some articles here, and I know we're always talking about. We've devoted some shows to, you know, fraudulent mediums, and there's an article in our local paper that I see you have.
Well, it's funny, it's our local paper, but it's actually the authorities in New Jersey came to accuse a psychic who is now living on Long Island of fleecing at least five people of more than $331,000. And I'm sure we've talked about this. I'm sure our listeners have heard where you know, people have been told that that the money that they're touching came through some dirty way, and the money has to be turned over to the psychic, and she has to bless it and get rid of all the negative stuff. And so they keep bringing more and more money to her. The problem is she never gets it back.
You know, it always amazes me, you know, how people can be taken that way. But you can understand it. I mean, people desperately, you know, want to believe that they're hearing from their loved ones, and then you have, you know, a total fraud who's not a psychic or a medium that just preys on people. And they also, as you mentioned, one tactic is cleansing this money. The other is that, oh, there's a horrible
curse
on you, but don't worry, I can handle this and I can get rid of it for you, but it, you know, it's going to cost
me.
Right.
So another word of caution: if a medium is advertising that they get rid of curses,
yeah, kind of run the other way as fast as you can.
You know, there's that old adage: jack of all trades, a master of none. If the psychic medium, whoever they are, lists way too many jobs on their website,
right,
and they're probably not devoting enough time to mediumship.
Well, there's a difference between not devoting enough time and out-and-out fraud.
Right.
And this
right.
is out-and-out fraud.
But people should be careful about both things.
Right. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our guest, Dave Morgan, who wrote a very interesting book. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.winbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dave Morgan. Our sponsor is Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barson and can be reached via phone at 631-862-1402. Bob?
And Dave Morgan is a retired history teacher. He believes that the most important conversation on Earth starts with a question: what happens when we die? He encourages all to explore their own true spiritual reality, and he's the author of Afterwards, 75 Everyday People Answer 15 Common Questions About the Afterlife. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks so much. I'm honored to be here.
So what compels a history teacher to write a book about the afterlife?
Well, my previous career was in politics, and following that up with history, I thought maybe I better find something that lifted me a little bit above above what happens on Earth. But a better explanation is that after a lot of spiritual searching of my own, some of my answers became real clear, and I got real excited about talking to people about them. but it's not a terribly easy conversation to just strike up. And I said, well, I'll read a book about it, what other people think. I couldn't find it, so I said, I guess that's all leading me to write one.
Well, I certainly can understand that. And you mentioned, you know, you had your own search. So, you know, as I was reading the book, I was wondering, you know, if your motivation perhaps was an attempt to reinforce your own beliefs or your own search.
Well, I think that's always a part of it. If you, you know, are kind of moved in this direction, you want to find out, am I making sense or am I not? But
right.
I think beyond that, at the point where I started feeling very solid about my own beliefs, I said, wow, this is really exciting to actually feel something about this farther place and this farther shore. And I wonder what other people are thinking, you know. And so it was partly reinforcement and partly I want to learn from people. And that's exactly what happened.
Mm. Now, you asked a great many questions of a great many people and you got a vast array of different responses. It's always been my belief that a great many people who say that they believe in an afterlife, what they're really saying is that they hope there's an afterlife. I mean, is that something you would agree with?
You know, it's yes and no. The more I talked to people, the more I drew out their details of what they believed, the more I saw they really do have things that they sit on at a deep level, and they are foundation beliefs. It's just that when you bring it up to this human earthly plane, it's so easy to bring the doubts in, even though there's a deeper sense of, you know, absolute faith.
Yeah. Would you mind taking a phone call from a listener?
No, absolutely not. That'd be
okay.
Wonderful.
Okay, we have Diane from Texas on line 3.
Hello, Diane.
Well, hello, Bob. Hello, Fran. And hello, Dave.
That's
hello,
our Diane.
I know that voice. This wouldn't be the extremely famous Diane Archangel, would it?
Absolutely.
Chairperson of the board.
My mother-in-law tells me it's infamous.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Diane and I connected over Joe's Barbecue in Nolan Ryan's home birthplace of Alvin, Texas. So between my Texas roots and her Texas residence, we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
How are you, Diane?
I am doing just great. How are you?
I'm just feeling wonderful, and like I was telling Bob and Fran, I'm quite honored to be on the program.
So, Diane, when you read Dave's book, did some of the responses ring true from your own research?
Bob, it absolutely did ring true. A number of the things that he wrote in his book and questions that he asked and answers that were replied to the questions he asked did remind me a lot of the things that I have been through with research. And one thing I was wondering about tonight, if I can ask Dave a question.
Sure.
We know from research that reminiscing usually helps transcend grief, and also it helps us understand our concept or feelings about the afterlife. So I'm wondering, Dave, have you spoken with any of the people who participated in your book recently? And if so, did they feel that interviewing with you served to be a catalyst for change in any way with either their grief or even their beliefs about the afterlife?
You know, I have talked to some, and again, I have to give kind of a mixed answer. Most of the people I talked to, let's put it this way, many of the people I talked to, this was a new experience to talk about it. And so even bringing it back to them, they all remember it as an exciting and interesting and useful experience. But as far as integrating it, I think that may take a more conscious effort than some of them have. But again, it's there was no one that walked away saying, "Wow, what a stupid, you know, waste of time that was." So I really have to give kind of an equivocal answer on that.
I had a question.
I love about Forever Family Foundation and your book, Dave, and I just wish that if I had any wish to come true in the world, it would be that we could walk the earth and everyone be able to talk about afterlife, whether it be our own experiences or questions, because just to bring it out into the open changes
yes.
the way we view things and really helps with our fear of death.
Mm. Well, I couldn't agree more with that. And as I said kind of when I closed the book out, just talking to people about this, whatever their level of belief, if you put it in terms of questions and just talk about it on a human level instead of an argument or a religious dialogue or anything like that, it's just you see the light. It's just there in each of us.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to. This is not a diatribe against religion. Religion brought us where we are on the question of spirituality. But just these common questions we all have, it's a beautiful thing to talk about, and it does bring us together.
Yeah. Well, I know that Diane often talks about changing worldview, and she's done a lot in her quest to make that happen. And mm-hmm. you, Dave, certainly talk about as you talk about the most important conversation on Earth. I also think it's important not only to speculate about what life in another realm would be, but it may be even more important to share personal experiences. We tend to discount them, and we have fear of sharing them with other people. And when people start sharing these experiences, and you have had a lot of people tell you about them in your book, I think that's when you can make great strides. Because let's face it, I mean, we've been, since the dawn of man, we've been speculating about the other realms, but people have very strong personal evidence that needs to be shared with others. Would you agree with that?
I couldn't agree more. Yet one of the most surprising things that happened to me wasn't that some people had unexplainable or what we think of as unexplainable experiences. It was how many people had those. And like I said in the book, by the end of it, I'm thinking of supernatural as natural and paranormal as normal. It's just too common an experience for us to keep saying, this is spooky or this is somebody else's experience. It happens to everybody in one way or another, it seems to me.
Yeah. Actually, I'm curious to have your feelings and Diane's input as well. I often think that the term afterlife is a misleading term. I mean, what people are describing is a continuum of life, and so perhaps we can come up with a better word. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, let's let Diane take that first, and then I'll follow up.
Bob, I just could not agree with you more. I have so often wished we could come up with another term. How about we give you that task? Come up with a new term. I totally agree with you. We need something else.
All right, I'll come up with it, and then I'll put it on a T-shirt and send it to you. How's that?
I love it.
There you go.
No, I actually, when I finished this book, by the time I finished this book, I found myself focusing on one of the interviewees' comments. He's a clairvoyant, he's a physics whiz, and he's just, in my mind, he's a mystic as well. And he said, there is no before life, there is no during life, there is no afterlife, it's all life. And it just made, it just sat somewhere in me and it grows and grows.
Mm.
So I don't know the word for it, but I'm looking to.
Well, Diane, I thank you so much for calling in. And for those listeners who may not be familiar with Diane, her book is a classic called Afterlife Encounters. And Diane is also a past president of Forever Family Foundation and currently
our chairperson
of the board. So, Diane, thanks so much. And are you going to visit us soon?
I would love to. Just keep up the good work, Bob and Fran. I cannot thank you enough for the work you do. And wonderful book, Dave. I just love it.
Oh, thanks so much, Diane, for all your support.
Thanks, Diane.
You have a good night and bye-bye.
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 Dave, how important is it? I mean, it's one thing to believe that we survive our physical death, and it's another thing to believe that our existence in these other realms is dependent upon the way we live our lives in the physical. I mean, it seems it goes hand in hand, right? I mean, to believe in an afterlife without being any repercussions, and I'm not talking about repercussions in terms of some heaven or hell existence, but in spiritual growth. I mean, did you get that as a consensus from a lot of people that our lives in these other realms are going to be dependent upon our actions here?
Yes, in a very general sense. And then there was a lot of gradations, I guess you'd say, or a lot of variations on that theme. But I thought, I talked to a hospice chaplain, and I thought he wrapped it up very well, and I believe it's been said before, but I love the term, it's as you live, so you die. And it just seemed to me to say a lot about your behavior here, and that there will be issues there. There is such a thing as universal justice, and you will be held accountable, just perhaps not in the way we think of it here.
Yeah, there were a lot of interesting, quotes and responses from the people. Some of them, really make you think. One person said, "Well, we're living in lower dimensions, so I suppose you can call it hell." That's a theory that a lot of people have, that this physical existence is a real hell, and that we move on from there. Was that an isolated thing, or were others espousing that kind of view?
I would say that's probably one of the more negative particularly negative outlooks. Yeah. A lot of people said, yes, life is difficult. Yes, life is obviously on a very dense level, if you think in terms of dimensions and frequencies and raised consciousness. But there's also a reason to be here. There's great joy. There's great diversity. And it's just a tough school. I tend to think of the denser vibrations, and I've actually been gifted, I guess you'd say, with a number of dreams showing what appear to be different types of afterlife experiences. And the denser ones, there's not much color to them, maybe sepia tones. And at the same time, those people, it's not like they're unhappy there. It's just something that I don't want for myself, and it's clearly not a very high level of awareness in an afterlife.
Right. When you were doing the research and putting the book together, I mean, how did you arrive at the 15 questions that you wanted to pose? Was that a process where you kept going back and forth and refining, or did you know right away what you wanted to ask?
It came much more easily than I thought it would as I came together. Part of it was I've been interested in these questions and issues for a long time, and then I put it together with both my teaching experience on the types of things that people might respond to, and also on just trying to say, what would people be interested in hearing about? And, things like if you find yourself in an uncomfortable afterlife situation, will there be a way to move to a better neighborhood? And obviously, that deals with the very traditional issues of heaven and hell, but it's there is that broader question. So I tried to come up with that, and I'm kind of guessing I might have been guided in that because they came so easy. But who knows? Maybe I'm just that smart.
As I read through a lot of responses, I mean, there were quite a number of people that had a deep religious faith.
Yes.
And they, some would say things like, well, I know there's an afterlife because the Bible says it so. So a lot of people seem to have this blind faith, and they don't necessarily care if they have personal experiences or not. This is what they were brought up to believe, and that's the way it is. But also, I think that some of the religious depictions of an afterlife might be frightening to some because, even if you go to a so-called heaven and if you're sitting on a cloud and playing with a harp, it's not much of an interesting life, was that, did you find that, in some of the responses?
Well, as far as the particularly religious people, I would usually try to get more in depth. I'd say, yes, the Bible says that, but how have you made the Bible personal? And sometimes it went a little deeper in their questions, and sometimes it didn't. So I would say it's limiting in many ways, and yet whatever they want to think, I believe what they're going to find out is that they took all this in a very personal way, and it will have a personal impact on how they experience their afterlife. And if you want to call it a place, you know, okay, there is a Christian heaven, for instance, that has been created by that Christian consciousness. They are going to experience that in a personal way, no matter what they think, you know, no matter how external they think their learning was from the Bible. It's not an objective thing. It's a personal thing.
I often find sometimes when we're discussing even scientific, you know, evidence of survival, a lot of people will give us an answer like, well, this is a waste of time because we're not meant to know. Is that something that you've come upon where people will say, well, we're not supposed to know what an afterlife is like. We'll find out when we get there.
I think there was a little bit of that as an undertone, but even more than that, it was maybe we can't know, and then a little more optimistic view of that is maybe we're not supposed to know too much because it would interfere with the lessons that we're to learn here. And I kind of started out there, but the more I work on my own awareness, the more I think, no, the real challenge here is to bring as much of that understanding here as we can, and we're really going to have something if we can get a lot of it.
So if I asked you, if I said, all right, Dave Morgan, why do you believe in an afterlife? And I said, do you believe in it from, you know, from hope or from faith or from research or personal experience?
It's
is
all
it
of those.
A little bit of it all?
It's all of it.
Yeah.
It's all of it. And more and more, I would say, I came to a place where I said, okay, there's a place in me that I have to trust because I'm the only one that I've got in the long run. I mean, I love all of you out there, but ultimately I have to make my own decisions about what's true. And as I refined that place in me, I found the more I went to these really abstract ideas that so far we can't prove, the more whole I felt, the stronger I felt, the more real I felt. And, you know, it's probably not any different than anybody else says about what their religion or whatever they believe. But all I can tell you is that I believe in this broader spiritual world, and the more of it I can make mine, the more that believing place grows. And it's kind of a wandering answer, but I think anybody that's experienced that will know.
Yeah, and I guess what you're really talking about is, you know, feeling connected.
Yes.
Instead of isolated.
Yes.
Was there something in the book, and in as you put it together, that you would say surprised you, you know, when as you processed the various responses, something that you didn't expect?
Well, yes. I think the commonality of all of this is, I kind of hoped it would be there, but I didn't know what I'd find. But when I really look at the humanity, especially sitting down with people and talking about it, even if they came from a very relatively restricted sense of religious consciousness, the humanity in the way they answered and the way they tried to answer, sometimes they felt bound by scripture, but I could feel them saying, "Wow, gee, that really is not the God I know." And, you know, it's like, why would a father throw his children into everlasting fire for any reason? You know, I think it was the common humanity in it, and especially the excitement I felt in talking to the next person and the next person. That was the biggest surprise, I think. I thought I could be a journalist and keep a little distance. No way.
That disappeared just real quick. We are talking with Dave Morgan. His book is called Afterwards, and it's 75 Everyday People Answer 15 Common Questions About the Afterlife. There is a website that you can go on to give some feedback, which I'll repeat at the end of the show, but it's www.near-death.com/afterwards.html. I guess that's a site where people can answer similar questions.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. Near-death.com is run by a friend and fellow seeker named Kevin Williams, and Kevin has put together an unbelievably informative website about near-death, even mentioned by Deepak Chopra in his book about afterlife as a place where, that, you know, that's all you'd ever need, but he also has incredible links. Kevin is also helping me develop a true website. The address you gave is a survey that Kevin helped me develop within his site, and it asks these questions that are in the book. But he's also helping me, even as we speak, develop a true website with at www.afterwards.info that will expand your listeners' opportunity to enter into this conversation beyond just the survey. The survey is wonderful for data, but I really want to give people a chance to talk to each other, and that's right. what the website will do.
Okay, we'll repeat that at the end of the show. We're going to go to a break now, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about afterwards and the afterlife from our guest Dave Morgan, so stay with us.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life.
brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
You are just tuning in. Our guest tonight is Dave Morgan. This show is sponsored by Equine Muscle Massage Therapy by Jan Barson, and she can be reached by phone at 631-862-1402. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Here at Forever Family Foundation, we're sending out a big thank you to our supportive listeners who have made possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet, we know that not everyone has extra income they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending will come back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your item. For each search, we'll receive a donation. And when you find what you're looking for in their more than 900 online stores like The Body Shop, Travelocity, Yoga Accessories, Zale, and the list goes on, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Dessert and Discarnates with certified medium Rebecca Anlo Cicero is an exclusive evening for only 12 attendees and one medium and lots of gourmet desserts, coffee, and tea. The fundraiser is set for Oceanside, New York on August 10, 2012, and recently sold out. We thank Rebecca Ann, and if you're interested in the next Dessert and Discarnates event, send us an email at events@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. The next one is scheduled for January 25, 2013. The medium will be Angelina Diana. How to Listen When Your Children Speak is an afternoon workshop for parents who have lost children. It's from 2 to 6 p.m. in Bethel, Connecticut, with certified medium Angelina Diana. She will be opening to bring through only 10 children in spirit. The afternoon will include evidence of an afterlife from a parent's perspective and a refreshment break with conversations from other parents who have walked in those same shoes. There are only 4 spots left at this event. Our annual November conference is set for Phoenix, Arizona, at the beautiful Hilton Phoenix Airport Hotel with free shuttle service to and from the airport as well as to local attractions. And this conference will be the first of its kind as an intensive interactive weekend. Make your arrangements and reservations now as the hotel block is filling up. The weekend will begin with our annual Friday night fundraiser on November 9th featuring Long Island medium Teresa Caputo. And we'll continue through November 10th and 11th with a select group of esteemed scientists answering your deepest questions about the reality of the spirit world. The weekend also features certified mediums Dave Campbell and Deborah Martin, who will be joining our panel of expert presenters, Dr. Evan Alexander, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Julie Beischel, Dr. Stafford Betty, and Dr. Claude Swanson. And 12-12-12, don't miss being in the right place on the most spiritual date of the year. 12-12-12 is a medium marathon featuring an evening of 4 extraordinary mediums, Bobby Allison, Kim Russo, Siri Bernson, and Laura Lynn Jackson. Seats may be reserved via the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org on its event page. page, and that's it. Back to you, Bob.
And our guest tonight is Dave Morgan, the author of Afterwards. Thanks for hanging in there with us, Dave. And, as I read through the many responses to the intriguing questions, one can't help but think that the underlying the most pressing question that people have is what is our purpose in the physical world? Did you get that sense? I mean, people are searching for meaning and purpose in their lives.
Well, it's such a huge question for me that I may be reading it in, but yes, I think it really runs through many of the other questions. You know, whether I believe it or not, what am I doing here? And I even asked a specific question. I said, if the afterlife is such a great place, why do we have to spend time here? You know,
right.
This is a tough place. I love the answer. One of the sweetest ladies I know said, well, it was all a different question, but she said, why is so much of life like being in a frigging rock tumbler, being bristled about by all these gritty substances? And I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good description about the way many 60-year-olds feel.
Yeah.
But yes, it's definitely a theme that I think runs through a lot of this, trying to grapple with, you know, the connections and the reasons why it all happens.
Mm. I also find, that came out in some of the responses that you've got. One person said, when talking about the afterlife, you know, does a sense of personal identity survive? I would imagine that you hear that often. You know, people have a fear that maybe, you know, there is an afterlife, but maybe you're absorbed into a greater consciousness and you don't have any personal memories. Does that come up at all?
I think the way that came up more was, you know, will I still know my children? Will I still know other people if I heard it? The thing I heard most often, though, was the sense that, yes, I will be me. And that's the one I don't necessarily agree with, because I think there's so much of our personality that has to do with our life on Earth. But if I had to say there was one misconception, it may be that. Now, but even saying that, I also do believe that there will always be enough continuity between your personality here and there to take you comfortably wherever you need to be, even if it's to eventually forgetting, you know, who you were here as we see it here.
Mm. And if you believe that, you know, the evidence from the mediumship research and some of the channel reports and even, you know, near-death experiences, we certainly do retain memory, as you mentioned.
Yes.
I mean, we can't help but have a different perspective without a body, and no attachment to the physical. But I think it's reassuring to people to know that, you know, part of who they were, you know, remains.
Oh, yes. I think everything that's the best of us does. And if that's our sense of ourselves as a, you know, nurturing parent, you will remember that. I guess all I'm saying, and this is kind of a tough, strange way to look at it maybe, but I also think it's part of a greater spiritual reality, is that eventually we will detach from that and say, oh, now I understand why that's happening. I don't have to have those same parental fears. I can just be more of a parental guide. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And then going along with that, I mean, one of the people you interviewed said something to the effect that it'll be wonderful to know that others I know and love will one day experience the same thing. And when I read that, I'm thinking, well, you know, it's profound as it relates to grief. You know, it's another way of saying that grief is a product of our limited perspective in the physical realm. You know, those mm-hmm. in the afterlife aren't grieving. I mean, would you agree with that?
I do, and in fact, one of the more interesting things, well, maybe I should back up a little. I think some grief is absolutely reasonable, and I'm sure you'd agree with that. But I've read from several different angles that if we grieve too long and too hard here, it actually makes it more difficult for those that have passed over. Is that something you've run into in your research and conversations?
The people talk about practicing, you know, for dying, you know, I mean, there are, if you have, you know, all of these materialistic physical attachments, that it's an impediment to not only transitioning but to growth on the other side.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and I think that's true. I've even wondered as I watched, especially very old people, lose what we think of as, you know, as their ability to function here. I said, I wonder if that's nature's way of preparing, you know, for an easier detachment and an easier entry into what you might think of as a true homeland.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. What I wanted to ask is, one of the people that you interviewed said something to the effect that I'd like to know that we are all equals there. You know, I kept thinking, well, there's somebody that certainly has suffered some inequities in the physical life, and it's pretty comforting to think that we're all starting on an equal playing field in the afterlife.
Yes. And I mentioned earlier that I've had a number of dreams that just were too different not to say, hey, I'm getting a gift here. And in all of those dreams, there's no hierarchy. And I started thinking about that and wondering and came across some writings that made a lot of sense to me. They were talking about this, the reason this dense place is so difficult is we have duality to deal with. We have higher, lower, more, less. I love the answer on the back of the book. One person responded to this in this way. They said, what makes the afterlife different than this one? And they said, there will be no sense of I'm too fat or am I loved? Light fills all the holes. And I agree with that.
Yeah. Do you find, Dave, that, or your opinion, I mean, do you think it's a mistake for people to think that when they cross over to this other side that they're going to have infinite knowledge? You know, I find that a lot of people are under that misconception that they're going to be imbued with this all-knowing knowledge of the universe, and the evidence doesn't seem to point in that direction.
Well, I agree with you. The evidence points into limits that we might rather not think are going to be there. But I love the way one person answered that one as well. They said, a mansion can be a prison. And, you know, just because we think we have a whole lot over there, it doesn't mean that it's not limiting us. And it really always comes back to the matter of consciousness and just keeping yourself open to new questions and new possibilities. And if you go over with restrictions, they're going to be reflected in some way.
And we are talking with Dave Morgan. The book is called Afterwards, 75 Everyday People Answer 15 Common Questions About the Afterlife. Dave asks a lot of intriguing questions from people of all walks of life, and you'll be quite intrigued by the answers. We have the book, there is a link to the book, an Amazon link on our website at forfamilyfoundation.org. Watch for Dave's new website, which will be afterwards, afterwords.info, spelled just like the book, afterwards. And until that gets going, you could also check him out on the neardeath.com /afterwards.
Near-death.com.
Yeah. I have it on that website, and it is there's a lot of good information on that site. So I'm glad you were able to hook up there. So, Dave, thanks so much for being with us. I hope you'll join us again. Best of luck with the book, and I think you should be very proud of the book that you put together. And if anything, you will be doing your part in educating people about changing worldview.
Well, and about just the sheer pleasure and joy of talking about this too. And Bob, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to be here, and maybe I'll find a way to be with you at your conference.
All right, thanks. I'd love to see you. Take care and have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Energy Circle Prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Stanley Mulan, Julie B., Chase McKenna, Elizabeth McKenna, Glenna Irwin, Doreen Malloy, Barbara Petillo, Pat Longo, David Haith, Rita Springer, CJ, Lynn LeClaire, Eileen LaFada, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, and Nancy Scheel, and anybody else needing healing. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's water, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masaru Emoto. And now it's time for Bob to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.